Sportsnet 590. 590. The Fan.
Morning show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Happy Friday, everybody. It's Justin Cuthbert and Ailish Warfar. We're bringing back Aux Cord Friday. You know, it's been a while.
Has that been on hiatus?
I don't remember the last time we did Aux Cord Friday. Once Blake got his own show and he's no longer running our Spotify playlist, It just fell off. But we're back. Brought to you by today's guest, Ryan Fabro, our head honcho, our boss. Scary.
Did he bring it back?
We can't critique this. Great song.
I'm not familiar. I don't mind it though.
It's great. Good beat. Josh, we know the name of this so we can tell the podcast listeners. But does it have a name? I Love the Dough. Brought to you by Unibet. Crazy about the odds.
Yeah, it should have been the 8:30.
Yeah, that was a good start. Thanks, Fabro. So yeah. Happy Friday, everybody. No Jays game last night. It's one of the most It was a nice, relaxing evening, a reset.
Little breather.
Breather.
Almost too quiet. Fitting the time. Too quiet, for sure. We had the Serena doubles match, which was Serena and Venus doubles match. College football is getting fully underway. But it was a light sports night on what's going to be a very, very busy September. But a good reset in terms of the Jays. Like, okay, calendar flips. This is when things get serious, apparently, September. 33 games remaining on the schedule, if you count the doubleheaders.
That's right. You have to do those.
I was reminded to do. So we can kind of like reset and look ahead and what needs to happen, because we've been looking back a lot, dwelling a lot on certain things. And we're probably going to do that as we sort of spin this forward here. But I think it's important for everyone to reset a little bit. Reset our opinions. Expectations probably had to have been altered at some point. But for the Jays, more importantly, Just getting the intensity level ramped up a little bit. And maybe this is this divide that can sort of signify that.
There is a small positive to being this late in the season with games being this important, because A, you control your own destiny, which is sometimes very motivating for a team, or defeating if you give up. But I've played in many of seasons where when you're getting down the stretch and everything matters and you're able to dial in and you're able to give that extra effort of consistency and attention to detail, and leadership is as important as ever, performance across your lineup is as important as ever, you're almost primed going into that part of the season that actually matters in terms of winning and proceeding, or losing and that being it. So if you believe that the Blue Jays can string together a great September, then they enter October on this high. Although their season has been up and down and up and down, maybe going on the up when it matters sustains that. I'm thinking of the roller coasters I was at yesterday. I'm visualizing the CNE and whoop, we go, and then down we go. I kind of had some parallels yesterday, but that's where we're at.
You actually felt what the Blue Jays have been feeling, I guess.
I did.
Well, Blue Jays fans have been feeling it, of course. I think it's easier to tell yourself now. Like, I think we've actually seen that process play out. We literally saw it with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. In mid-bat, where he was reminding himself and then promptly hits a home run. I'm sure there have been some internal and external dialogue around Teoscar Hernandez after a tough weekend last weekend. But I think you can, as a teammate, someone on a team, sort of tell yourself, hey, this is when it matters, and to focus a little bit more intently. I think especially in baseball too, where it is that slog. Like, you got to find something that works that isn't so intense at all times. And not to say that, like, that's one of the criticisms with this Blue Jays team for some, is that the intensity is just not there ever.
When you think about this 162 games, it's like
but that's
crazy.
I feel like you need, in order to be successful, you need to be having fun when you're in the throes of the season and the dog days of summer and all that stuff. But now I think the focus can change. And I actually think you can tell yourself, and convince yourself that it needs to change. Now, that's not to say anything will change in terms of like wins and losses, but the good thing is they kind of just have to be what they are in order to get in. Like you said, you know, they control their own destiny. Sometimes we use that for teams that have like virtually no shot, but if they win out, they can get in.
You must win 89% of every single game.
And that's controlling your own destiny, I suppose, but it's unrealistic. The Blue Jays certainly control their own destiny, and they only have to be basically what they have been in order to do the bare minimum, which would be to make the playoffs. Should there be higher ambitions? Probably. But I think we've learned over the last few months that there are flaws. There are things that can be exploited by the opposition. I mean, Jeff Blair put it perfectly yesterday with us. Mm. Like, every pitching staff can just deliver the same approach game after game, and there hasn't been a solution. So that's something that's probably not going to just be fixed because you're telling yourself September's important. However, they need to be what they have been, and that's probably well within their capabilities. But we'd like to see small changes if we're to believe that something bigger can happen than, hey, we're going to get in and maybe Manoah and Gausman can get us through the first round, and then we'll see.
They start this journey of September with three games against Pittsburgh, who are 49-80. Not good.
I was just thinking yesterday when we were talking about Mitch White, probably a good thing that O'Neill Cruz and Mitch White will not see each other. Because this is a guy, like, he's got, like, the records for the hardest hit balls. Their shortstop, rookie shortstop. Like, everything he hits is absolutely walloped, even if it's a single. Like, he's just this, like, monster of a shortstop who can just absolutely hammer the ball. And anyone serving up hittable pitches, I fear for them. Of course, you know, the Blue Jays are going to be able to send the top end of the rotation out there. And they should be able to beat a team like Pittsburgh.
Are they going to send their top rotation out? Because...
Well, who's lined up?
Well, they had a
We just saw White and Barrios.
They had an off day. Okay. And sometimes you can use that as a way to configure the rest. And
it just came at a bad time.
I'm aware. But Tuesday's doubleheader and that start of that Baltimore series, are you not circling that as must win? You have Monday, two games, Tuesday, Looney Dogs, one game.
Tuesday, Looney Dogs.
So... look at the importance of, and then a Wednesday game, sorry. If you're able to configure, which isn't, wouldn't be the first time the Blue Jays have done that, and I know other other shows on our station have proposed this idea, are you giving a little bit of leeway to some rest here and lining up your big guns against Baltimore because you must win those three games, four games, because they are nipping at your heels, or are you continuing with the structure you have? Lining up someone like a Mitch White or a bullpen or, God forbid, a Kikuchi, which has been rumored to even be something that they need to level everything out for the Baltimore Orioles games. I'm interested, actually, in what people think listening. Text in 590-590. Like, are you configuring, messing stuff up against Pittsburgh? I know every game feels like a must win, and they haven't been successful against under 500 teams. What's more important? Getting through this weekend, stringing together those three wins, and then heading into Baltimore with the back of your rotation, some of them?
I just think there's only so much you can fix. Like, you can't hold Manoah.
No.
He's pitching. We don't even have the official pitchers, but I assume.
Yeah, everything's TBD.
I assume he's going tonight. The fifth day. And I guess Gausman would be held for the Orioles series. So you're going to be able to throw something that you're confident with out there. And then it'd be So you're going to have Stripling and Manoah for sure. There's just not much you can change. And what's really scary, you mentioned that doubleheader coming up.
Oof.
Is that White and Kikuchi back
to
back?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, it's just the worst time that if the off day was one day earlier, you could have skipped the White start and probably, well, I guess you wouldn't have been able to change where Manoah lined up, but you would have been able to manipulate it so that you could at least eliminate one White start. That doesn't fix, like, this is the big
this is our problem.
We're going to talk about like problems and encouraging things. Like, The fact of the matter is you can only be confident with 60% of the starting rotation, and you can't hide them. No matter how the schedule shakes up, maybe you can get lucky with an off day that you can skip, but especially when there's a doubleheader
of incredible importance.
That means you need a sixth starter. And I don't even know. We're looking at another Trent Thornton start against the Orioles. And you can't hold over Manoah because then you're just, I mean, the win against Pittsburgh, not as valuable as the win against Baltimore, I suppose, but you still need to win the game or it's just as bad. So.
Certainly something to chew on.
There's just not much they can do.
I know. But it's, that's a, for looking at this upcoming weekend, I do kind of tack on Baltimore series as a part of, since it's a long weekend. Labor Day is kind of a,
that's true. There's five games before the next show.
Before Tuesday when you get to hear.
Unless you guys are grinding through Labor Day, which I don't think you are. Well, you're off.
I'm off all next week anyway, so I don't have to talk about the Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Texas.
You're going to have my schedule. Experience where you're just like, what is happening?
I'll be watching from PEI. Just toes in the red sand. Anyway, I want to rub it in.
Toes in the clay.
But it's something very unsettling, I would say. Because as you put it, 60% of your starting pitchers you're confident with. Are you encouraged that the bullpen can elevate some of these games?
Are you encouraged that the bullpen can lend a starter to get you through an important game? Can you maybe manipulate the Sunday? Maybe? Can you hold Stripling would be next.
I just think if they're starting Monday with Mitch White and question mark TBD individual, maybe a bullpen or Kikuchi, we should have been looking at this weeks ahead, right? Like, this didn't sneak up. Like, this doubleheader was planned a long time ago. You know this Baltimore series is probably one of the most important series you're going to play down the stretch.
I guess what you could do is throw Kikuchi on the mound on Sunday. And you would be holding Berríos back.
People just swerved.
Right?
The
You'd
road.
Be holding Berríos back?
Sure.
For a start against Baltimore.
I think that that's
probably
the best
more
idea
palatable.
That you
probably
can do.
More palatable. It is. But again,
we don't make the lineup, unfortunately, or else we'd.
I always worry, though, about throwing a pitcher out of their rhythm.
Like, throwing a pitcher, throwing Manoah out of his
60%?
Throwing Manoah out of his rhythm versus putting Yusei Kikuchi in against Baltimore. You get to choose one, Justin.
The problem is that
The
problem is that the three you're really, really confident about, I believe, unless I wish the probables were up here, so it would be a little easier to figure in my head. But if Manoah and Stripling have to go early in this series, you're not going to hold your two of the three that you're really confident in for the Baltimore series just because. Like, you're skipping a start if you do that. You don't skip a start with two of the three that you're confident with. And then Gausman's not available till Baltimore anyway, right?
Just got a great text in. That'll make you happy. Guys, Casey Lawrence Sunday.
Oh. Yeah.
Hey, he was just recalled with our guy Zimmer.
I mean, there's only really one person to blame here. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they...
Look back at the trade deadline. Here we go again.
The words that you don't want to ever be spoken again.
The trade deadline. Well, that might be something that is more prevalent in the next month when we see some difficult pitching matchups where we think, wow, wouldn't it be great to have someone with a bit more confidence?
They knew this crush can schedule was going to happen. 33 games. Well, we flipped to September, and of course it extends in October, but 33 games remaining, so a lot of baseball, a lot of important baseball over the next few weeks. And
where
yet
do you feel...
it seems like they're entering this month shorthanded.
There's nothing you can do now.
That's true.
What do you feel encouraged about?
What do I feel encouraged about?
Like, let's spin this bad boy.
I think the most encouraging thing is, I mean, about September or about, you know, the prospects of success in the postseason?
Either or. Well, let's we'll start just with talk September. About September.
I think it's the back end. I think it's the back end of the rotation. Or the bullpen, rather. Not the rotation.
I was like, what?
It's the opposite. Back end of the
encouraged.
Bullpen. Back end of the bullpen is probably what I'm most confident in right now. And that's kind of saying something, right?
Hey, there might be some
like
close
it
games,
normally
though.
Would be, well, we can outscore anyone, right?
No.
But that's not really the case right now.
If you just get in tight games and you put Jordan Romano out there and
Jimmy Garcia's looked really good lately.
Yep. That's how you win these games. No pressure, guys.
So I think late game lead protection, surprisingly, is something I do. Maybe that's just because it's a departure from what I was thinking earlier. And Jordan Romano, there's never should have been any reason to be really skeptical. Maybe early on, he's getting a little lucky with his performances, but it just seems like that's one of the few things that you can really hone in terms of confidence. Mm-hmm. What about you?
George Springer has been a very reliable player on this team.
When playing.
But I think that they've got a nice meshing of rest, DHing, and throwing him out there when you really need. I feel like the conversation of 1 month ago was, how concerned are you about George Springer's injury? Every guest we had on. How are you feeling about George Springer's injury? I actually feel a bit more settled now about this.
Yeah, I think there's reason to as well.
And he's going to be, I'm going to have Buck Martinez on the Ailish Hour. And literally the first question I have is, who's going to be the most important player this month?
It's not going to be anything about fishing.
Well, sorry, the second question I'm going to have is, I'm going to grill him about the fishing trip. Like,
I hope you will.
I can't wait to talk to Buck Martinez, but I feel good about that. I feel great about Matt Chapman's defense.
I think
these
we were thinking about him, like,
are,
is the only thing that I feel confident about, Matt Chapman, and more specifically, the way he plays his defense? Like, is that really going to be the most, like, is that what I'm going to
defense wins
present as my number one confident thing?
Say.
Is the single defensive play from one player?
Well,
like, it seems so hollow, but it also is right up there at the top in terms of what I'm feeling
though.
Confident about.
Obviously, like, as we said, like, the top end of the rotation.
Like, a little solace if things don't go well over the next 6 weeks. Can we get Matt Chapman signed to an extension?
Oh, that'd be really nice news.
That would be. I think another thing that's encouraging is the what we kind of led this conversation off with, like, hey, it's September. September.
Dial it in.
There's a lot of talent on this team. And if they just, like, funnel all that positive energy that they can produce and pair that to work in tandem with all that talent, because it means more now, if they can convince themselves of that, maybe then there's good things around the corner. So I think he should be encouraged by the calendar flip, as silly as that sounds. But again, we're reaching a little bit. And of course, I'm very encouraged, assuming they will get into the playoffs, that they can have success in the playoffs, because they're going to be throwing Alec Manoah and Kevin Gausman out there in the first two games of the series.
100%.
And I just think
that 1-2
that
punch
sets them up for success.
That 1-2 punch is one of the best in the league.
100%. You'll be
just
confident.
Get there.
You'll be confident in the matchups, no matter what the matchups are.
What are you guys most confident about? Most encouraged about? What are you the most worried about? We'll sprinkle those in throughout the show. Today,
should we do what we're worried about?
I thought we just learned.
I guess we pretty much have.
What else do you have?
The only one. Oh yeah, we've kind of touched on them, but the only one is like, hey, can the hey September thing go the opposite way? Like,
yes.
All of a sudden we're pressing. Oh, it's important now. And we've seen more of, like, the bad approaches at the plate. So I guess it can work both ways. I'm choosing to be glass half full on it because, frankly, there's not much to be obviously encouraged about. So.
It's an important addition. Adam from Tottenham texted in. Get your big arms lined up for the Orioles and rely on your bats to light up a horrible Pirates team. Games against Orioles are 4-point games with how close the standings are. Exactly, Adam.
I just think that's a dangerous game. Bird in hand, right? Got to get the wins.
Today is the 32nd anniversary of the only no-hitter in Blue Jays history.
Pretty remarkable. There's only been one.
there could be more to come. That's what I'm optimistic about in September, is there's more time to get a no-hitter. Mm-hmm. That got us thinking about, I mean, obviously going to that game would have been absolutely electric. I'm sure somebody listening right now was at it, 1990. Oh, it was in Cleveland, but maybe you're at least alive and watching.
Still possible.
Somebody could have been there. If you were, congratulations. That's probably one of the best sporting events you've ever seen live. It got Justin and I thinking of our own best sporting events that you have seen alive in person. Also text in 590-590. Brag about your history of viewing live sports. What's yours? I got a couple. We can just...
So mine are strangely all soccer and all played outside of North America.
Wow. Okay.
So I've been lucky to see a lot of Leaf games in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
A little credential action. So I've been, you know, one of the weirdest one was the bubble where Austin Matthews scored that game four goal.
Oh, that's cool. But the bubble was just
obviously
like
not
one clap.
Not a great viewing experience by any means, but unique. Like, I remember it was probably one of like 15 people in the building, or mm-hmm. at least in the seats, and you could hear everyone that actually could react,
like,
which was interesting, and like the screams. Very cool,
kind
but
of
also
eerie at the
but
same
also
time.
Like eerie and like, wow, that's that shouldn't have been that way. Like, as Austin Matthews describes, mm-hmm. it should have been the earthquake that he feels when he scores big goals at Scotiabank Arena. But my best ever experience at a sporting event was in Rome. So we're in Rome.
Like recently?
No, it's a couple years ago.
Because you just went to one.
No, it's like 4 or 5 years ago. So Roma was hosting Juventus. And Roma, I guess there was like lots of issues between the supporters and the club, like protests, angry protests, like lots and lots of issues that were building and simmering. And I wasn't aware of these issues. So we show up and it's like contentious and a little scary. It's like, what is going on?
Yeah,
here? Like people are
alarming.
Angry. People are angry. Security is at this like another level. It's really, really like, should we go into the stadium here? Like kind of scary. So anyway, we go in. And you feel the exact same way inside. Like it's really, it's hot in there. Like real, like not temperature. It's like, it was actually hot in there, but like it feels like something bad is going to happen. Like this sinister feeling in the air. And then you think about it more and you're like, well, Juventus has been the best team in Italy forever.
Is there a good ending to the story?
There is a good ending.
Okay. God, it's so, like doom and gloom. I'm worried.
I was worried as well. Juventus, great team. Paul Pogba was their star at the time. Like they're better than Roma. So you're thinking, okay, what if they get blown out here? Are we going to be in the middle of a riot? Like that's what it felt like going in. So a little scared, but the game starts and Roma dominates. They were so, so good. Dominated Juventus,
cool.
And the atmosphere turned from so negative
to
so positive.
Oh, that's sick.
And like that was the most real sporting experience mm-hmm. I think I've ever felt.
Well,
and I remember
alone,
the
those
goal,
fans, like just the energy of being, I've never been at a game with that many people either.
No, I mean, it was a huge stadium. I mean, it was Olympic Stadium.
Yeah.
They held like, the opening ceremonies at that stadium. So it's a big stadium, you're right. But as it starts to feel better, you feel better about like cheering and like being there. And they score the goal that like seals it. Edin Dzeko scored it at the opposite end of where we were sitting. And like the rush of like what I was envisioning in my head of something being bad, where there's like a mob or something crazy that happens, a fight, whatever,
mm-hmm.
riot. It happens in a positive way because he scores the goal, jumps towards,
that's pretty cool.
And it is the Olympic Stadium. So there's that track.
Yeah.
He travels down the track.
Ooh,
and everybody
fun.
Rushes down. It was crazy.
That's pretty cool.
So the more,
did you?
It's the most like memorable sporting event that I've ever been to. And it's so different from the cookie cutter stuff that we get here that I'll always remember that. How about you?
I don't know if I have like one that's like the first one that comes to mind. I have a bunch of ones that I think I've been like a tie for top five.
Okay.
I got to go to the Paralympics and cover them in PyeongChang. And that was one of the coolest sporting events I've ever been a part of.
How did I not know you were in PyeongChang?
Yeah. It was amazing. I can't pick one moment from that, but if I'm summing up the coolest sporting events I've ever been to, which is kind of where I'm going to make this spin, it was being there, covering it, seeing the athletes live, being in the Olympic Village. I got the tail end of the Olympic celebration as well, which I got to see a couple silver medals.
Couple teammates, no?
Couple gold medals. Yeah, it was a really, really, really cool event. And then I stayed there and covered the Paralympics and just being in another country. And I was by myself. I didn't know anybody. Like, I was just there working.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a really, really awesome experience. So that would probably be like, that was the first one that came to my mind. I got to go to the Leafs versus Boston in Boston playoff game. Not that
one.
Not that one. The first one. The very first game that they played Boston, it was 2013.
Oh. So in like Boston. Game one?
Game one, which I thought was really cool, but they ended up losing.
They lost, right?
But it was like a really, like it was the first time in a while. It's cool to see that on the road. I got to go to the Heritage Classic here in Toronto, which I really enjoyed.
Centennial?
Yep, Centennial one.
So I went to the Centennial Classic as a media member.
Yep.
Sucked. Because you're like in, it's different when,
right.
Especially in an outdoor stadium press box. Like you can't even hear. It's like you're in a snow globe and you're looking into a snow globe. Like you can't really process what's happening inside. And it felt that way at the Heritage Classic against Buffalo this past year. I was there as well. And it's like you don't get an authentic experience there.
Oh, I sure did.
I would
it was a blast.
Definitely preferred to be in the seats. Cold, but cold beers.
What was the
one you mentioned before that? Oh, Boston.
Leafs Boston.
So I think I was in back-to-back Boston game sevens. No.
Oh.
No. One game seven. I was there when Kadri got suspended.
Yikes.
But Boston is like, it's no excuse, obviously. Mm-hmm. But you can kind of tell why things don't go well there.
It's because contentious as well.
It's a real advantage. It's a real atmosphere.
Unfortunately, I went to a lot of Boston sporting events when I was at college.
Which is great because they as much as we hate them, they do sports very, very well. Did you go to any big Patriots games?
I went to one, but it wasn't a big
Patriots
one. No, I went to one. I was at the David Ayers game right behind the net, third row. Okay.
I was there as well.
When that started unfolding, my friend Kate and I were there. And I was like, what's going to happen here? And I'm sitting like, we were on TV the whole night. They were zooming in on, I'm pretty sure of us being so confused. Like, what's happening? I was on my phone, like Googling, like, who's playing in a play? We're on Twitter. And then they announced that this e-bug's coming in. At the time I was...
they announced it in the arena?
No, on Twitter. Okay. And so I'm like giving updates. I'm like, everybody, there's an e-bug coming. Like, just, yeah. And I'm watching Twitter feed and they say, the goaltender will be David Ayers, who is a Zamboni driver at Ryerson University. At the time, I was assistant coach of the Ryerson women's hockey team, where I knew David Ayers quite well. And he,
so that must have been pretty surreal.
He skates out, and I'm like, there's no way this is real life. This guy, I know him, and I'm looking at him on the ice, warming up right in front of me at the net. Little did I know what was about to happen.
Were you live betting the over, like, desperately?
I don't even know if I comprehended what happened for the next, like, half a game. I was like live. I felt like I was live streaming it like a blogger. It was insane, that game. And just the added fact that I knew him and he was like three rows ahead of me. Man, that was insane.
That's a surreal experience. That's obviously a dark touchstone.
A dark turn, but it was really
the current history of the Leafs.
Really.
But one very memorable.
You're never going to see that again, I hope.
No. I'll remember that night. For sure, forever. Like it was crazy. It was really like a moment that's so inauthentic, like should never have happened. And I'm one of the people that hates e-bug situations. I don't think
Justin.
I mean, you want to be a legit league? Be a legit.
I don't care. I think it's awesome.
That
except
David
when it
Ayers,
happens.
The Zamboni driver literally like changed. I think the approach that season of what they were going to do. Like, they didn't do anything at the trade deadline that year. because I think they were convinced we don't have a mature enough team because they couldn't solve that puzzle. When in reality, it wasn't about David Ayers. It was about the Carolina Hurricanes being a very, very high-structured team that can prevent shots.
Okay, I don't care about this part.
I know. But it means it will always be remembered because it was built into something that it shouldn't have ever been. But again, the story. I'm anti David Ayers though.
One other one before
the late night circuit he went on. I'm like, you're an employee of the team.
Okay, I didn't enjoy that as well. It was like the David Ayers show afterwards. But you know what? Whatever. I got to see that. One other one. I was at the Kawhi shot game.
Oh come on!
Right,
you got to lead with that.
You know what? It's actually like I kind of forgot. Because there's just so many things that happen. But I was in the line of behind Kawhi when it was about to like happen in the 300. So not the best view, but we're like sitting directly up from where he was. And you watch the boom, boom, boom. And then went in and so I've never been a part of that.
Did it look when it first rimmed out that it was like gone or you thought it had a chance?
Well, everyone it was like, you know, that moment of anticipation where it kind of goes quiet and then it erupts. Like I remember specifically that silence and the collective holding of your breath. Like, I don't really remember how I felt if it was going to go in or not. Obviously I was like willing it to go in. And then when it did, it erupted. There's no other way to put it.
That moment was ruined for me by like shared internet. So I was living in a condo and it was like that really, it wasn't
you
like,
you heard it through.
It wasn't Rogers. It was like a thing that dial up, like everybody shared, you pay a low price, whatever.
Cheapskate.
Brutal. And it's like 20 seconds behind. So I hear a roar when they're still like in the timeout.
You're like, I wonder what's happening.
And I'm like, oh, they're going to hit a shot.
But still like, so I'm not like, knowing how the shot goes in is pretty cool.
It was like, oh, wow. Like that was literally crazy. Like that wasn't just a shot. That was a miraculous moment.
Iconic moment in Toronto history. Okay, keep texting in 590-590. We got some answers to your best sporting event you've been to. Dave and Barry, two events. One was the Centennial Classic between the Leafs and the Red Wings at BMO Field. Philia. Matthew scoring in overtime felt like, oh my God, Toronto really has this savior. I felt the same way.
The moment definitely added to the spectacle. Yeah.
The other was going to WrestleMania 18 at Sky Dome. Over 68,000 people. The Rock versus Hulk Hogan. I've never felt a crowd like that before. You could feel the electricity in your chest. Absolutely insane environment. Oh, I just got chills.
That's the thing. It's like the atmosphere is more important generally than like what happens. Like it could be a game 7 and, you know, maybe it's not the best arena or whatever. It's happening in Anaheim or whatever. It's just not a big deal. Like it doesn't mean as much, but when it means so much to a large group of people collectively, it creates something that's like you can't manufacture.
Exactly.
And the best crowds I've been in are probably the best sporting events I've been to because it just gives it something that you cannot create otherwise.
Meredith and EG, I missed Meredith. Where have you been? My sports attendance flex. Raptors opening season at the Sky Dome. Went with my friend, her sister, and her dad. We were 8 to 9 years old and sat in the 500s so far from the court. We could see backstage to where the dance pack was warming up. Raptors were hosting the Bulls. Raps won. I saw the Raptors beat Michael Jordan.
Oh, did you say that was the opener?
Raptors opening season.
Oh, opening Sky season. Dome. So that was the Michael Jordan victory.
Yeah.
That's one of the big... I was going to say, what like if there's a Raptors game, Leaf game in the past... that you wish you were there for. I mean, you're probably at the one. I mean, you could see game 6 in Golden State, but like in Toronto, I don't know what would be the Maple Leaf game.
Austin Matthews, 4 goals opening.
That was in Ottawa.
I wasn't here. Oh, shoot.
That's all right.
I just pictured it being here. Zach in Caledonia, I went to the bat flip game.
That's the one.
Sick.
I guess neither of us were there. Where were you for that?
I was at university in a frat basement watching with the women's and men's hockey team who were basically all from Toronto and Canada. Mm-hmm. Oh boy, that was fun too, but not the same as being there.
That's one of the few games that you'll definitely remember exactly where you were.
Oh yeah.
Another one is, of course, the Golden Goal. Where were you for that?
The Golden Goal. Well, someone similarly said 2002 Salt Lake City women's final hockey game. Mm-hmm. That's sick. I was also watching the Golden Goal. Actually, I mean,
Salt Lake City was huge too. Like yeah, we were that's obviously true.
I was a little,
quite little.
I was. If I'm I don't little, really you remember it, unfortunately.
I do remember. I remember that day. It was big. It was definitely very big. Because you know, we haven't been lucky. We were lucky for a little while mm-hmm. there with the Olympic participation, but we waited a long time. We waited. We were kids, but people had waited.
Where I was for the Golden Goal, this is actually a really memorable moment. We had practice. I was at university. We had practice, and our coach let us off the ice early. And our entire team was crammed in the video room, full gear, because we just got off the ice. And he's like, "It's in. It, like, you need to get off now and go watch." Mm-hmm. Half of our team was Canadian, half of our team was American, like an even split. And we had obviously been watching the Olympics, like competing.
So they didn't see the Parise gold tie then?
Oh, you know what? I'm not thinking of the Golden Goal. I'm thinking of the 2014 where Canada with the Marie-Philippe Poulin Golden Goal.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry. There's too many Golden Goals. That Golden Goal that you're thinking about, I was like in high school, so I don't
know. Don't remember where you were?
No, I actually don't. I think I was literally on the ice practicing, which is lame. Obviously, I rewatched it. But the one of the ones that I really loved was the 2014. And we all got off the ice, and we all watched in this dressing room together in overtime. And it was unreal because we won. And then we went on a road trip, and afterwards the bus was, like, silent on the Americans, and the Canadians were like, wow! Like, it was so fun.
I actually can't even imagine a better situation to watch that in. Having a split room, people, everyone obviously cares. There's overlap, and I'm sure a lot of you knew the players involved. Like that is such an intimate experience. That must have been pretty cool.
Okay, quickly through some more before we get into the A-list. Derek from Toronto, working merchandise for both World Series. When Joe hit it and won, I was there for 30 hours, including the parade the next day. That's pretty cool. Luke from Holland Landing. Seeing the old-timers game at the Ray Twinney Recreation Center complex. I've played there many a time. That's just a fun.
Which
Ray Twinney.
Where's that?
It's in Aurora. Oh. It's a great rink. Golden Goal in Vancouver. We watched from a bar inside the arena when Crosby scored. You could hear it from the bar, but we had to wait for the 7WE, whatever that means. But he was there. Why wouldn't you in your seat? Hi, Tony from Stony Creek. I was at the Kawhi shot game too. And like Ailish said, it was very quiet for a second and then it was crazy. But one thing I remember was looking at the rest to see if it counted before the buzzer. Once the rest pointed that it counted, I went crazy. Whew, this is fun to relive.
Mm-hmm.
We're lucky to see some great iconic moments in sport. One other one. Today's the 50th anniversary of the 1972 Summit Series starting up, game 1 of 8. I'm sure we both don't have any live memories of that one, but...
You sure?
No, oh, put yourself on blast there.
No, but like we talk about the importance of the Golden Goal. And I guess maybe, you know, between the two of us, 2014, just as big as 2010 for me. But,
for sure.
You know, our parents, 1972 was the biggest thing.
That's right.
So, you know, they all have memories about being pulled out of school or where they were watching or who they were with. Like, these are the big, big moments that only come around so often. In 72, if the next one was 2010,
mm-hmm.
quick math.
It's a lengthy.
38 length. Years?
I think something like that.
I think so. So, another good one for me. Team North America winning in overtime.
Somebody
over Team
wrote
Sweden.
That, actually.
That was crazy.
Was that you that texted in?
That was crazy. That was one of the most exciting, like, 3 minutes of live sporting action I've ever seen. Unbelievable. And such a shame that we didn't get another game out of them.
Before we take a break, the additional text that I was reading that kind of ended, he must have forgot, he pressed enter too fast. We had to watch from the bar, but we had to wait for the 7-second delay. Oh, Will. Will from Oshawa, that's a tough one. On the A-list, the Baltimore Ravens already facing significant injury concerns.
Don't like that.
Stay tuned to find out who hit the full season IL. That's next on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It's Friday. We're almost there, folks. Text in 590-590, best sporting events you've ever seen live. We'll sprinkle those in. A lot of us have been really fortunate to see some cool ones or memorable ones, whether they're good or not. We'll never forget. It's time for the A-list. It's something you'll never forget as well.
Now it's time for the A-list.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
The NFL season begins in less than a week. Thank goodness. But unfortunately, injuries have already started to pile up. A massive blow to Baltimore. A season-ending knee injury suffered during Saturday's preseason game versus Washington. Sometimes you think, should you be putting in your most important players in preseason? Things can happen. Here is the announcement about this devastating loss.
Appreciate you guys coming out. Do have a personnel announcement to make. Poe is going to be put on injured reserve for the rest of the season. He's going to be done. Unfortunately, he sustained a serious injury to his drumstick, and he will not be able to perform for the rest of the season. We will find a replacement. We're going to go to work on that right away. We're going to turn over every stone, scour everywhere, and find his replacement. We're going to get right into evaluating our options and see where we go next and see if we can find somebody to replace Poe.
Devastating. Poe is the Baltimore Ravens mascot. Suffered an injury to his drumstick. But, like, legitimately, he got injured. Like, this is just a fun spin on it. I feel for the team. That's a devastating blow to the start of their season. The morale is low. The vibes bringer, the mascot, is injured. What's going to happen? Do they have the cap space to find another fill-in?
Feel for Poe. Drumstick, though?
Like, because he's like a bird.
Not a wing?
Yeah, that's actually true. He could have said wing. But maybe, well, I guess if it was his leg, because it is actually a leg injury. I think he like tore his knee or something. He's like ACL. I guess that would be your drumstick then, because your wing is your arm. Right? He tore his ACL. That's not funny,
okay.
But...
Okay. I thought it was... No, I was actually, thinking drumstick was... Why was I thinking...
Drumstick is your leg, buddy.
Struggling with the anatomy of birds here?
Yeah. Get some more wings in you.
I feel bad. Didn't something like this... like, this happened with the Raptors, right? Like, obviously, the Raptor is legendary. But did that spawn, like, another... Like, a secondary mascot?
Are you talking about, like, the big blow-up one? That one's hilarious, you know?
Wasn't there a mini Raptor or something? Maybe I'm making this up.
Well, there's Ace.
But the blow-up ones.
There's Ace and Junior at the Blue Jays.
Two with the Blue Jays?
Well, it's also for Junior Jays.
Like, I wonder if Poe's job security is, like, you can't lose your job to injury, but can you lose your job to injury?
I wonder if they put him in, like, payroll still and he gets, I don't know, I'm worried about Poe's career.
Not affecting any salary cap, but long-term injured reserve. But that's the thing is, like, especially in football, one injury can change everything. Like, what's going to happen with Derrick Henry this year? I don't know. What's going to happen with Poe next year?
Poe.
I don't know.
Oh. Pray for Poe. Hashtag pray for Poe.
I just hope Poe's getting, like, health insurance. I hope they're taking care of Poe. Don't just kick Poe to the curb and bring in a new Poe.
We might need to do a GoFundMe for Poe, if so. Text in about your question about the Raptors. It was Stripes that came in, and he's now the Raptors 905 team mascot.
There you go.
That's cute. He got an opportunity to stay with the team.
Raptor didn't lose his job, but this created a job opportunity. So really, it's a happy ending.
Maybe someone will thrive in Poe's absence.
But not too much.
Okay, this is one that I'm hoping Gatorade is listening and can sponsor us. Gatorade released an insane new drink that has more caffeine than a pair of 12-ounce cans of Red Bull. The sports drink company has gone into the caffeine game. They released a drink called Fast Twitch. Mm. It'll be on NFL sidelines this season. It's kind of designed as a pre-workout, which I know you love. It contains the same caffeine as two Red Bulls.
And that 12 ounces, the tall boy?
I think so. It doesn't matter. That's gross. You won't be able to buy it till February, but Gatorade, we are available for taste tests.
I mean, I would try it.
I would certainly try that, especially with our hours. You got a fridge here in the studio at Sportsnet. You got a couple fast twitch in there in the mornings. Like, I kind of get sick of coffee. Here I am drinking a large coffee from an establishment nearby, and it's just like another day.
See, I don't get sick of coffee.
But I just, maybe I'm feeling like I would rather have fast twitch once in a while.
I think, like, you know, if it's a 2-hour sleep night, let's say
West Coast Leafs game coming up.
Let's say that, yeah, let's say the Jays were on the, I mean, we're not working this weekend, but a West Coast game coming up. Couple hours sleep, big one. Maybe in the playoffs. Is there a West Coast team that's going to be involved? There has to be, but can't think of it right now.
Dodgers?
Texas, it's not too far west. Anyway, World Series.
Yeah.
But then I guess all the games will be out on at 8. So maybe there's not that opportunity with the Blue Jays, but a late game will happen, and you'll have to cover it the next day. And I think I might even go as far as maybe you should shotgun that fast twitch.
Oh my God. Can you imagine the
drinking
crash
the fast
from
twitch
that, though?
As fast as possible.
The crash from that post show, though? Oh, the caffeine headache you get?
Yeah. I mean, I had that scoop of pre-workout.
Yeah.
Was that a couple weeks ago?
Live on air.
And like I got some bad information. I mean, what could I do with it? Full scoop. There's supposed to be smaller scoops. That thing was huge. Anyway.
Don't worry.
I was immediately sweating. And I wonder how my body would react.
That would happen with fast twitch.
Two tall boys of Red Bull in one.
I'd still like to try it.
It doesn't seem like a Gatorade thing either. Like Gatorade's.
Well, that's weird, right?
Gatorade has this like family friendly type of vibe. Not that this is anything nefarious, but like Sidney Crosby is like pushing the product.
What if some kid goes?
Sidney Crosby's not going to be pushing something that's two Red Bulls.
I don't know. Some kid's going to go to Esso on his way to a hockey tournament, and he's going to grab this and be like, "Oh, I got a couple Gatorades for the boys," and he's not going to realize that it's fast twitch.
Kid's going to be up all night.
Parents are going to hate this one. It looks a bit different in terms of packaging, but not that different.
MPP's Gatorade, right?
She is.
She could hook you up.
You know what? I'm going to message her after the World Championships and say.
But let's, she's not obviously not going to talk bad about this new product.
She'd give it to me.
But I'm not sure that'll be in her repertoire either.
Okay, speaking of beverages. Bills and the Buffalo media have not arrived in L.A. yet, obviously, for next week's game. But more than $24,000 worth of beer, Labatt's Blue, has been shipped over to L.A. by Bills and Bills fans.
Well, Labatt Blue is not like a common beer out there in California?
I guess not.
I don't think so.
It's specifically been sent there for the tailgate or for the players. Like, nobody really knows why or who sent it, but there's been videos of it. Buffalo sports reporters have been tweeting. They've seen it. Well, I just think that's a good sign for the Bills. They're already getting ahead of the game. They're prepping. They're putting in the grind. They're putting in the work. They're setting up for success on their first game of the season, which is a humongous game. Make it the most comfortable and memorable environment. You just seamlessly get right
in there.
Make
it feel like home.
Make it feel like home. You got 24K full of beer ready to go.
Well, I think it's the right move in that there's not going to be a more popular football trip all year, is it? Is there going to be?
I don't think so.
Like, Bills fans do it right. I mean, I'm surprised tables aren't being shipped as
hey,
well.
Hey, maybe.
But like,
that's the next
Bills
thing.
Fans, it's their year. I mean, it was kind of their year last year, but whatever. Super Bowl favorites this year. I don't think they were Super Bowl favorites last year. Second, maybe. Anyway, this is as big of a more as much anticipation for a Buffalo Bills season as ever. Start in LA on the Thursday night to kick off the NFL season. I'm sure Bills fans, a vast majority or a good fraction of them are taking their vacation time to go to LA to fill up a stadium, which maybe could use some help.
Oh, it'll be full.
With Bills fans. So if the beer's there, the beer's flowing, they're going to feel as comfortable as possible and they get to cheer on their Bills. It is the perfect storm in terms of like one city descending on it.
That would be potentially one of the best sporting events that someone's ever been to, which we're still taking on the text line 590-590.
Have you been to an NFL game?
Yeah, I've been to a few. You know which team.
Oh, a couple of Patriots, right?
Yeah, I've been to some Bills, but...
I would much rather TV.
I mean, it's a cool experience to be in, especially like if you've been to a winter one. I know that's weird, but like,
I would rather
snowing,
that.
You're kind of in the full experience. You got like your eyelashes have ice on them. Like it's kind of.
I would rather. Cool. I've actually been to two cold weather areas, but they have indoor stadiums. I've been to Minnesota and Detroit. And let's just say I would have rather been red
warm
zoning
or cold. Yeah, yeah.
At home. But like if it was cold and, you know, the situation was right, I think that makes for a better experience. But I don't know. I don't think football way better on television.
Our next guest at the 7 o'clock hour is going to be at NFL week one.
Yeah, no couch Sundays for him.
No, no. He's back in the grind. It's our favorite Charles Davis after the break. It's the Fan Morning Show. SportsNet 590, The Fan.